Winning a soul to Christ is probably the most important thing that you and I could ever do. Telling somebody about heaven, watching them be born into the kingdom of heaven, there's just nothing like it in all the world. I love it. Oh, they got me. I don't know what that was either. I thought somebody sneezed. Did somebody sneeze? All right. And so how to win a soul to Christ is probably the most wondrous thing that you and I could ever do. And, you know, the Lord's going to come back. Amen. In the rapture. Amen. But you know what it takes to get Him to come back? Anybody know what the last thing must be done for Jesus to come back? The last Gentile needs to get saved. The last Gentile that's going to get saved needs to be saved. But they can't be saved if we're not taking the gospel message out. So if we want to hasten the Lord's return, win as many people to Christ as you can, because you don't know who that last one is. And as soon as they get saved, the church gets to go home. Man, wouldn't that be exciting? Can you imagine being there? And you're leading the person to Christ, and you're standing there and you're telling them the gospel message, and they bow their head and they pray, and they say, Jesus, the best way I know how, I ask you to come in my heart, take me to heaven when I die. Boop! The rapture happens and they're gone and you're gone. While you're standing next to them, you're going up to see Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because I believe that's how quick it's going to be when that last Gentile gets saved. There's a person that's picked out that God has told. Now, I believe that as preacher mentioned on Sunday, predestination does not mean God decides who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. It just means that He knows already the choices that man has made. That's what it means. So I'm looking forward to heaven. But you can get all that stuff on there. That'll help you. And so we're going to go to our next page. And it's the wrong one. I went the wrong way. It actually worked this time. All right. Here we go. So as you go soul winning, the more comfortable you are with what you're saying, the more comfortable that person will be with whom you're speaking to. The more comfortable the person is, because you're comfortable. When you're comfortable, they're comfortable. If you're not comfortable, the battery dies, is that the deal? All right. Here you go. I'll let you reload.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Just know when we're reloaded there. Thank you, preacher.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I want folks to be comfortable with me. So right. I'm going to be comfortable with them. And this should be the second to the last page on the papers I passed out last week, okay? The more comfortable I am with what I am saying, the more comfortable they are with hearing it. The more comfortable I am with what's going on, the more confidence I have. Can I tell you why people don't lead someone to Christ? Because they're not confident in what they're saying. We haven't done it enough. I'm going to be very honest with you about me, okay? If I go a while without winning someone to Christ, and I have to tell somebody the gospel message, I get nervous. I get nervous because I have had a while since I've led someone to Christ, so I feel like I need to be careful to make sure I do the right things, say the right things, remember the right things. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? It's important that we do that. Okay? Make sure this is on. Good? All right. And so, the more comfortable you are, the more comfortable they'll be, because we share our comfort with someone else. Amen? So, when you go out soul winning, stay on the subject. The simple plan of salvation. I wanted to play for you, and next week I'm going to play for you, if I can get permission. A friend of mine has a church member who's a musician. He was a country music singer, and he got saved. And he wrote a song about salvation. And at the end of the song, he gives a plan of salvation for people. His plan of salvation is different than mine. But his plan, he's comfortable with it. Amen? But that's his plan, and he sticks to his plan. So stay on the subject. Someone tries to get you off the subject, just go right back to the subject. Amen? You don't have to get carried away on every wind of doctrine that comes by. Somebody says, let me ask you a question. And I will say, okay. And they say, can God make something so heavy He can't pick it up? I'll answer that question as soon as I'm done with this right here. And I go right back to the subject. Carry a New Testament with you. I've talked about that, but this is the reminder, okay? Right. Carry a New Testament. Use breath mints. Use breath mints.
Yeah.
Sometimes my breath can be offensive. And I don't even know it's offensive. You do this, right? You know what that does? We try to figure out whether you have... Well, take mints with you. Chew on a little piece of gum before you go or do something. I brush my teeth all the time, but that doesn't always take the smells away. Amen? It does temporarily, but it doesn't always for a long period of time. So use breath mints. I use them a lot. Keep mind on soul winning. Keep talking soul winning. Keep on your mind soul winning. Keep your mind there. You're not out to visit. You're not out to talk about Aunt Mary's bursitis. Okay? You're not out to tell everybody about your medical conditions or their medical conditions. You're there to go soul winning. Remember we talked about last week that the Holy Spirit's got to do His job, but He can't do His job unless we deliver the message. But there's somebody under conviction somewhere. And I don't know if they're under conviction or not, but if I'm not going to even get to the message, then there's no way to get that to them. Amen? So, keep your mind on soul winning. Keep talking soul winning. Use their name repeatedly. That makes people feel more comfortable. Brother Lonnie, Brother Lonnie, Brother Lonnie, Brother Lonnie. How many times do you hear that in a sermon? Often. Everybody gets to know who Lonnie is really quickly in our church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Same with Brother, what's his name? Man, I forgot your name all of a sudden.
Robbie.
Brother Robbie. Brother Robbie's talked about a lot in church. I don't even know who I'm talking about anymore. Brother Robbie used a lot. His name is used repeatedly. So Brother Robbie people get to know who he is quickly. Amen?
Yeah.
So the more we use somebody's name, first, the more personal it becomes. Mm-hmm. I'm not a salesperson. But I think a salesperson told me one time that that was very important in sales. To use that person's name. Is that right, Brother Robbie? You were a great salesman in your career. And they say that's what they told me. They said, boy, you're hitting right on the things that a salesman would do. And we're not out to sell. However, the concept is simply the same. We've got a product. It's the greatest product you could ever have. Right. Eternity. Right. Through Jesus Christ. Paid in full. On no work on your own. That's pretty good. Amen?
Yeah.
So I have to adjust the Romans Road to help me help them. So if I have to, I adjust it. I try not to, but I've adjusted the Romans Road for myself to feel more comfortable. I noted last time that there's verses I use that aren't used. So remember Revelation 20 verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is real, and this is what this is all about. The fact that hell is real, heaven is real. We don't like to talk about it. Everybody uses the word hell all the time and all sorts of things. And so it must be more in people's mind than what we realize. And so what we need to realize is that we need to tell people that hell is real. And how not to go there. We're already on that road. You don't have to do anything to get on that road. You're already there. So what we want to do is get them off that road. And all they have to do that is change their mind. And here's what they're changing their mind from. Are you ready? From they can do it themselves to Jesus Christ has done it all. That's the changing of mind that needs to take place. I cannot do it for myself. There's no way for me to deliver myself from hell. Only Jesus can do it. I told you a story weeks ago about when I was 12 years old. My dad took me to the church, told me to go up to, and I went to that church service, don't come back to this. And I said, when I came off, I knew one thing for sure. I was going to hell. And there was no way I could stop. And there was no way for me to get to heaven. And nobody I knew, including the priest at the church in which I was at, knew how to get there except for being good. And being good was something that I could not do. And I said to you then, if I took all the wrong I did and put it on one side and all the right I've done and put it on the other side, there's no way that the right could ever outweigh the wrong I had done at the age of 12. So I'm waiting. By the way, it's not just age 12. It's birth. From birth to the point where we receive Christ as Savior, there's nothing we can do that will get us to heaven. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Now, I'm sure you know what that means, and we're an adult crowd here, so I'll say it. Minstrel rags. That's what it means.
Right.
Year means our sin is as filthy as a minstrel rag.
Yeah.
That's filthy. No way I'd want to have anything to do with that. Yeah. And so, that's my righteousness. So hell is real. And we forget about that. We forget that people are going there. And I don't want folks to go to hell. I don't know about you. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't even want my worst enemy to go to hell. I want everybody to go to heaven. So, here's the plan I use. Everyone's a sinner. And I show Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the exact plan I use step by step. I haven't hit this yet, right? I did? All right. Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23, I use them together because we're realizing that because we're sinners, there's a response. Because we are all sinners, then one day we're going to die. And there's two kinds of death, a physical death for our bodies and a second death or a spiritual death for our souls. That's what I talk about, Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23. Then Revelation 21:8, there is a second death in hell. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and idolater and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 5:8 and 9, Jesus loves you and Jesus paid your sin debt. That's the subject because it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. But then it goes on to say in verse 9, and my mind's just gone blank. It says in verse number 9, I'll just have to open my Bible to it. How's that sound? I'm sorry, but God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So I can be saved from that wrath of hell through Jesus Christ. And so then I show them Romans 10:13, which is the promise that I said I would show them. And then in Hebrews 13 verse 5, the second part of the verse, I tell him the reason for eternal security because he promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's assurance. Help them to understand that by going over Romans 10:13 and other scriptures like John 10:27-30 or Hebrews 13:5, you can choose what you want for your comfort level. Amen. All these help people understand assurance. I want to get them assured of heaven. I said last week that a sinner only knows what we tell them. That's exactly right. Somebody only knows what we tell them. I was out one time with a preacher, and a little boy got saved, and a little boy was all excited, and he said, "What'd you just do?" And the boy was just, he shut down right there, because why would a child shut down? There's an adult asking them what they just did.
Right.
They think they did something terribly wrong. So I help them. Stress the importance of coming to church and coming forward in the church service. They don't know anything about that. Yes, sir?
Why is it important for them to come forward in a church service?
Coming forward in a church service is a public profession. The Bible teaches us we need to make a public profession. Let other people know that we receive Christ as our Savior. So stressing the importance of coming to church. Now, I don't tell them that yet. I don't yet. I'm just trying to get them to come to church with me. Now that they receive Christ as Savior, they've talked with me, they've gotten comfortable with me. Now, I'd already invited them to church once, but now I'm going to invite them again because now we became friends.
Right.
Now something's different. They were unsaved, now they're saved. But before, the Holy Spirit was not in their spirit, but now the Holy Spirit dwells in them. So now we have a relationship where we didn't have a relationship before. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Right. Amen? So now I'm going to invite them to church again. Warn them that Satan was going to try to stop them. Try to get them to promise God that they're going to come. Right. Not you, but God. I had a friend named Dick Schock. Dick Schock got saved. Dick Schock, first week, he promised me he'd come to church, right? Promised to come to church. On his way to church, car broke down. Dick and Melody Schock, they had three kids, three little girls. Next week, something happened and they couldn't get there again. Next week, something happened and they couldn't get there again. You go visit them and you say, Dick, where you been? I thought you were coming to church. And he tells you, I was on my way, but this happened. And do you believe that? No. Because we think they're just making excuses. 7 weeks.
Yeah.
7 weeks the devil hindered them from coming to church. Every week something else happened, and again, something happened, and something happened, and something happened, and something happened. And every time they were already in the car on their way.
Yeah.
You say, that's crazy. And it is. You know who it was? Satan. Yeah. The devil. Yeah. The devil doesn't want you to have victory. After a while, when Dick came, he made public profession, he got baptized, they became busy in the church. He was one of my deacons at one time. Did I tell you a story about the guy who we plowed their driveway and he died? It was a cold winter day and snow was falling like crazy, and Dick had a plow on the front of his truck. And here's an elderly man trying to shovel out his driveway. Yeah, I know I told the story, but I'll tell it again. And so I told Dick, let's pull in here, let's drop the plow, and let's plow this guy's driveway. And so we did. And we plowed his driveway. We asked him just for a few moments. He wanted to pay, just give us a few moments of your time. Through the window, he received Christ as a Savior. The neighbors listened because the neighbors had been praying for him. 7 o'clock that evening, he's walking from his house to his garage. He had to put something in his garage because they weren't connected. He's walking on his way back. His wife's in a wheelchair. His daughter's looking out the back window. And suddenly her dad goes down in the middle of the driveway. She thought he slipped and fell, but then he didn't move. So she went out there and he had a massive heart attack and had already passed away. Dick is that fella who missed church for 7 straight weeks after he got saved. Do you think the devil knew that God intended to use him? Do you know the people that have the hardest time going to church, staying in church? The ones who have the most ability to be used by God. If you know someone in our church who's having a struggle staying in church, because God has a reason for them to be here, and there's one that's trying to stop them, Satan, God would never stop anyone from coming to church. I'll say that one more time. God would never stop anyone from coming to church. But can I tell you who does want to stop someone? The devil. And the more you have to offer, the more he wants to stop you. And the more excuses he's going to feed you that have absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. Or right. So if you know someone in our church that's struggling to stay in church, you go tell them. Tell them the truth is the devil's after you. And every time you miss, it's the devil that gets the glory, not God.
Right.
Our church has absolutely nothing to do with our pastor. Nothing. The messages that come here, I've said it before, come from heaven. All the preacher is a conduit.
Right.
Well, I don't like this or I don't like that. All that is of the devil. None of that is of God.
Right.
Now, I love them and I want them to be in church, but I know the people that struggle the most, I've seen it all through my years, are the people that God intends to use the most. They have the most talent that God has personally given them to serve. And if they never serve, then the people that they're going to affect for eternity will never get affected.
Right.
What would have happened if I would have never obeyed Christ and became a preacher?
Yeah.
How many people would that affect? I won hundreds of thousands of people to Christ in my ministry, literally. I have 36 young preachers around the world today that were saved under my ministry or called to preach under my ministry, serving God somewhere. Now, I'm not going to tell you it was an easy thing to stay in church, because it wasn't, especially as a baby Christian. But you've got to read your Bible. You've got to get strength from heaven. You've got to decide you're going to do the right thing, because somebody else's eternity is depending on your behavior. Who's supposed to be a soul winner? We are. The angels of heaven aren't going to come down and tell somebody how to get saved. So God puts you in the position of life on purpose that you're in, so that you would be able to reach the people He intended for you to reach. So if you don't reach those people, they're not going to get reached.
Right.
Think about that. That's an amazing statement right there. In a few weeks, my son will be here. And then he'll tell you about his ministry he has in the Philippines. If I didn't become a preacher, he'd never been a missionary. And the people that he's affected in the Philippines, thousands of people in the Philippines that have been affected by his ministry, would never happen. I dare say maybe a million people would have been affected if I would have quit. And can I tell you how many times I have reasons to quit? Reasons. But reasons have nothing to do with it. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ owns me. I don't have a right to do what I feel like doing. Because the truth is, if I did what I felt like doing, I'd be at home sleeping right now. Anybody else on my side? Let's go home and go to bed. I'm just saying that's how important it is. It's important for us to be responsible to try to get them to church. Go pick them up and bring them to church. Be a friend of the new Christian. Sit with them. Introduce them to others. Go see them 4 to 6 weeks later. Get them a Bible. Yes, sir.
I know when I went in the Army, they gave us a little New Testament.
They do.
I've been thinking about that since I've been sitting here. What about the people that know they're going to go out and do soul winning? We get a little Bible and have someone that knows, like you're a preacher or Sheldon or whoever, go through and mark all the really, really, really important parts of that Bible, and then anyone you talk to, they'll stand and talk to you and give you a few minutes. Just give them that Bible and say, hey, I'll give you this. I want you to read it. I've got things marked in it that might help you.
If you have anybody that you give them a Bible to and they're not have never received Christ as Savior, or if they're a new convert, always have them read the whole Gospel of John.
I know this would keep, if you give it to them and have things marked, just go to it. Read it, and it keeps their mind on it.
No, I don't disagree with that. I think that's something that you really need to sit down and to talk to preacher, but I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. You can buy them anywhere, and they're not very expensive, and it's easy to mark. I used to have, when I was in evangelism, I used to carry little Bibles like you're talking about. I used to put little tabs in them so people can just flip right to the verses that were really important. I used to use little pieces of black tape to make my tabs, because they're small, you know.
But if they give you the time, you know, don't tell them you're going to give them this.
Right, right.
If they do stand there and talk to you for a few minutes and act like they're interested, say, here, I'm going to leave this with you.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with that. I think that's a wonderful idea. I do think it's more important right at the beginning, though, we try to get the Word of God to them through Scripture for salvation. I think that's the key. I have no problem when someone's received Christ as Savior giving them a Bible. I think that'd be very, very good to have. So be a friend to the new Christian. Bring him to church. Go see him. Spend time with him. Listen, you may be the person that he needs or she needs to teach them, to pull them under their your wing. Remember the one thing I said a while ago is keep everything positive. When you talk to a young Christian who just got saved, there's a whole lot of negatives the devil moves in.
Yeah.
Take everything positive. Don't tell them all the negatives you know about everything.
Right.
The more negatives you tell people about stuff, the more fuel you give the devil.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me see. How do I want to put this? If I wanted to, if preacher wanted to, he could tell you all sorts of bad things about me. I'm sure if he sat down for a few minutes, he could figure out some things. And can you imagine him sitting down with a new Christian and say, yeah, I know Brother Marco gets up there and does those things, but do you know this about Brother Marco? Do you know that about Brother Marco? I'm sure if I spent enough time, I could probably find some things about preacher.
Yeah.
I could find things about everybody, and everybody could find things about somebody else. But that's not what it's about. It's not about an individual. It's about keeping things positive to cause a fertile ground for them to grow on. This is spring. I don't know about you, but I weed and feeded my yard. Anybody else weed feed this year? Why? Because I'm trying to keep it fertile. I want my grass to grow, not die. Amen? So I'm going to keep it fertile. So, step by step, what I do and what I say to lead someone to Christ. You may say what you like to. The more relaxed you are with what you're doing, the better the plan you present will be accepted to the person who's listening. So step by step, here's what I say, and we'll start this next week. We are out of time. Okay? And I'm ready. I'm right there. In fact, if I flip to the next screen right here, there it is. See that? And I'm going to show you step by step, word for word, what I say. All right? So we're already at 8:02 this evening, so it's time that we need to stop. Again, yes, sir?